Okay. I think we're on. It's still loud. What the heck is going on? There we go. No, now it's off. And hello, the phone. Oh, man.
Ongoing thing with the phone all day.
Yeah, but we're kind of on a media blackout thing. Trying to take care of our regulars, our local customers, and the new customers that do find us. But not some. We're not advertising, trying to get business in, or do anything like that. We're just kind of hunkered down, taking everybody's temperature nowadays. Went to the auto parts store and got a thermometer you can just shoot at people's foreheads and stuff. It was $35. It was cheap.
It's not too bad.
No, and it works. And, you know, everybody should be between 92 and 94 when they shoot their forehead, you know, depending on who they are. But it seems to be pretty good. If you want a better reading, just have them open their mouth and shoot the laser in there. You actually get, you know, interior temperature. Kind of weird. Been having fun playing with the lasers. So, front door is pass-through. If you don't want to come into the store, you simply come up to the front door. There's a gate there, and you can get what you want. We'll bring it out to you. If you want to come in the store and look for something, you come around on the Edgewater side of the store, park in the back lot, you come through the back door. We only allow 10 people in the store at a time. We do have a gate, and everybody's been real nice. We have a few times where we had to make people wait a little while. Somebody leaves, and somebody else can go in. And once again, thank you for all of the people who have emailed and wanting to get, you know, gift certificate drives together for us. But truly, it literally almost brings tears to my eyes, but we don't need it. We're okay. There are a lot of people who do need that stuff, from hair salons, barbers. Believe it or not, people who work in all kinds of jobs. There's an eye clinic here in town, an eye doctor, and all their money comes from elective surgery. I mean, obviously he's got a lot of money, but the people that work there, not so much.
Right.
There is a lot of stuff going on that people don't think about. Nurses, doctors, all these people, and people who raise food. So much of everything was all one way, and now it's all changed. We're okay, partially because of Hurricane Charlie. We went 5 months without any income whatsoever. Had to keep a couple people on the payroll, rebuild the store, put it all back together, and we lost, the store is completely gone. And what we did is we learned you have to have reserves, a lot of reserves. We had the year of the red tide, we've had Irma shut us down, we've had all these different storms, you know, weather events, you know, the red tide is back in Charlotte Harbor and background concentrations again. Which is nothing abnormal. Believe it or not, it's more normal for us to have red tide than not have red tide. People don't think of that because they only think of red tide when it's bad. But it's here most of the year.
Yeah. And it's just an active bacteria. It's a bacteria algae.
You know, and Terry and I live a pretty simple life. We don't have a lot or need a lot. You know, we don't go out to eat a lot. Terry's an amazing cook. And so, you know, we're okay. And there's a lot of people who do need the help, and we would like you to give it to them. We'll be fine. I mean, we have a bank account that is never touched, that is always has a certain level of money in it so that we can survive. So, yeah. But that's just because I've been knocked on my butt so many times that I'm just terrified all the time, you know?
Right. No, it's completely understandable. But see, you're one of the people that learns the hard way, but learns it, doesn't have to have it two or three times. You get knocked down in all different manners.
I keep getting knocked down all the time.
But it's a different way each time, but you still get back up and you learn from it. And that's what smart business people do. It's what smart people do in general. I mean, you should learn from all those mistakes.
And I've made more mistakes than anybody can ever track. So, you know, but sometimes, you know, they were talking about one golfer. He said, you know, he understood that one good shot could make up for 19 bad ones.
Right.
You know, bring you back. You know, you just, you know, play the odds.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Anyway, we're going to keep everything going and everything fine. The reason for 8 to 5 is our guys are scared. They don't want to get sick. They don't want to be on a ventilator. They don't want to go to the hospital. That's why we're taking temperatures. We're, you know, using, we have Lysol. We spray the customers and ourselves. You know, we put it in hands. We've got alcohol coming to be able to replace the Lysol because it's getting a little low. But we're doing everything we can to make sure everybody stays safe, including we shorten our hours up. And now, instead of having a first shift and a second shift, we have one shift. And the idea behind that is you're waiting on less customers. So instead of 4 people waiting on, you know, 75 people, you've got 8 people waiting on 75 people.
So it makes it a lot easier.
Everybody's a little more calmed down, and, you know, we're going to slowly make our way through this. But anyway, getting to the fishing report. Let's see. We could probably have a few more places open. The problem with it is it encourages people to travel. And we have nurses that come in here, and you don't hear about it. But even at our hospitals with a very few cases, it's bad. You don't want to have to go to the hospital. You don't want to have to do all this stuff. We just need to hunker down. And the number one thing is, just like with the way we do the store, we keep learning. And I think that's what they're doing, you know, across the nation with the doctors and everything. Nobody knows anything about this. And every week they're coming up with new things because there's new information coming out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're talking about people traveling. You know, they were just talking several days ago about opening several beaches down there in the Collier County area, and that was like a 2-day discussion, and then they all of a sudden recanted and said, nope, we changed our mind because we're concerned that people will travel here from other adjoining counties to come and enjoy our beach, and we don't want to jeopardize anybody, including our locals.
And
so there's a lot of truth to that.
That's the problem. And I've had this discussion with Charlotte County where, you know, we can do this, we can do that. And there's several things we could do to open up stuff, but it just encourages people to come from other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, everybody's got to stay in their hometown, their home county. And, you know, normally everybody's begging tourists to come. This is the one time in history where it's just not a good idea. I'm not going to Arcadia. I love driving this, going over and seeing the old town in Arcadia and doing stuff like that, but I'm not going to take a chance on doing something with somebody else.
Well, and let's take it even one level further locally. You know, I got my 93-year-old grandmother who I see every week. I haven't seen her for 3 weeks now. 2.5, 3 weeks.
That's why
I call her a couple times a week, check in on her. My uncle's going and checking on her because he's got to. But I don't want to risk the possibility of getting her sick. And she's right here 10 yeah. minutes away.
And Robert's one of those grandsons where he literally sees his grandma at least once a week, every week. So, anyway, you know, I just thought, now I don't have, all my grandparents are gone and my parents are gone. It's funny, there's nobody above me in the chain anymore.
Nope. I was thinking about that the other day because we were talking about something and it's like, technically you're an orphan.
Yeah, technically I'm an orphan, yep. Yeah,
but on the flip side, you got a whole island of misfit kids that you take care of.
Yeah. I'm not feeling lonely, I can tell you that. The island of misfit toys here is just, all right.
We're all lunatics, but we all love you.
I know.
And I don't use that term very often at all, you know that.
I know.
It's a word that is stupidly used, so I try to use it when it's properly needed to be used.
Yeah. And so as far as information goes, we've spent 10 minutes talking about absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Well, the reason is that we've got, we almost have too many employees working.
Right.
I was thinking about this morning. I said, whoa, we got a lot of people working. So the one thing, it's going to be really hard going back to two shifts.
My gosh. I was telling Christina about your and I's conversation yesterday. I was like, it is. It's going to be weird.
I was like, we've never done this before.
We have normal working man's hours.
I go home at night, it's light out. I come in the morning, it's light. I go home, it's light out. I've never experienced this.
Nope. Not this, in 20 years. For me. 35 for you.
For me. You know, we've been open from 6 in the morning till 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, sometimes 24 hours, depending upon what was going on in the world. Wow.
It's crazy.
You know, I don't understand how people can complain about an 8-hour day.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I'll take it in a skinny minute.
People always say, what would you do if, you know, you couldn't work the store anymore? I said, oh, gee, let's see, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. Oh, that would be difficult.
Yeah, I'd get stuff done.
What's up, Mr. Josh? Hang on a minute.
He's kinda still, goes back still to a that, grasshopper.
That Fish and Frank thing. You know, I recently had somebody and they said, well, how do I do that? You know, I got these people I want to take out. What do I do? I said, well, you need this, this, and this, and showed them on the chart, and go here. And that will work. Well, we went over the captain and we didn't get anything. I said, do this, this, and this, and go here and do this. And they're like, I said, yeah, I know it's that simple. But what Josh just came in with a question is, we sell these double drop rigs. And you tie your line to one end, you put a sinker on the other end, and there's a couple arms that come out, and they're usually metal arms. And how do you attach a hook to that? And I said, well, you can use a dual lock snap, which opens at both ends. But they were originally conceived and designed when you use Snelled hooks. When you have a Snelled hook, you have a hook that's already pre-tied to a small leader with a loop on the other end. And with these double drop rigs, the arm comes out and there's a little loop on the end of it. You pass the hook through there, through the loop on the snell, and it all pulls tight, and that's how you attach hooks to them under normal circumstances. There's a variety of other ways you can do it. But, you know, it's one of the things about being old. You know, I lived through a lot of this stuff being conceived and brought out and why it was this. And because fishing changes a lot in the way people think, a lot of these older thoughts are forgotten. And why stuff was done is no longer relevant. They forgot that there was a reason for some of these things when they were conceived and how they were done. And now it's kind of lost to history. But that's my job, to make sure history stays alive.
So,
no. All right.
Very good at that.
Speaking of history, isn't it weird that I've become the old guy authority on all this? It wasn't that many years ago when I expect you to be older. I thought you'd be older. Remember that one?
Right. Oh, yeah. All the time.
20 years ago, people were coming up and they go, you're Fish and Frank? I thought you'd be older. Kind of like that movie with, what's his name? I thought you'd be bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Patrick Swayze. Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse. I thought you'd be bigger. Yep. All I ever heard was, I thought you'd be older. Well, I finally matched the older. But for the first 20 years of here, it was, I thought you'd be older.
Yep. Now I get it.
So, what's going on in the Peace River?
Oh, let's see. There are some snook up there. The anywhere from as far up above Arcadia all the way down to the Harbor Heights area. Small ones and some bigger ones, but a lot of them seem to be moving. Couple kids have been in here from Arcadia buying the storm, the big swim baits, and throwing them up there, and they said it's starting to slow down a little bit, but they are finding fish still. And then up towards Shell Creek, there's been a few juvenile tarpon, a lot of small snook, and a couple of redfish. And yesterday, a couple of people were talking about the redfish up there towards Shell Creek. because it was so windy, they decided to just stay up there and venture around. They didn't catch very many, but they caught, I think, two or three, they said, that were over the normal legal slot.
Yeah. Well, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do. Southwest Florida is fishing nirvana. If you don't mind walking up to a bank and fishing freshwater, going out to a pier and fishing around the piers, or going out in a boat and fishing shallow for snook and redfish, fishing the middle of the harbor with tarpon, snook, and tarpon and Spanish mackerel, stuff like that, sharks, and then you go out in the Gulf of Mexico and you control for this or do bottom fish. There are so many different types of fishing.
Absolutely.
But you have to be able to adjust and say, okay, I'm going to do this in this area, this in that area, and something else in another area. And as you work your way around the spectrum, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
If you can't expand, you know, your ideas, or this is the way I want to fish, I want to do this, I want to do that, no, it's not that wonderful.
No.
But if you're willing to open your mind up and broaden your spectrum, oh my gosh, the fishing opportunities are literally, I don't know, if you fished every day for 5 days a week, 20 years, you would possibly get to most of the spots, most of the types of fishing and everything.
No, that's probably true. That's definitely true. I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of people are afraid to fail. You know,
not me, I fail every day.
But you know what I'm saying.
It's one way or another.
I think that's why we get stuck in that same routine of, I'm still fishing a different area, but I'm still applying this. And then they wonder why it didn't work. So it's like, try a different area, try different techniques. You know, and it's just like you've talked about, everyone's out fishing in this spot. You try a bobber, you try a sinker, you try no sinker. Start catching fish, everyone switches over this way. But as soon as the fish stop biting, it doesn't necessarily mean the fish left. Everyone go back to a bobber, a sinker, and no, wait
a free
and
line.
See what happens, because maybe the fish just change their momentum in the water.
You can change your rigging, you can change your baits. There's so many different ways to make a spot better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simply by casting a little more to the left or to the right.
Right.
Sometimes do it.
Absolutely.
All right, I-75, what's going on?
Got a couple black drum and a couple of whiting. And then he showed me a picture of a silver trout. So he got one silver trout. He's like, I've never seen a trout without spots before, but this is what I think it is. I said, oh, it's a trout, but it's just a silver trout. So he was thrilled because he had never caught one of those before.
They're an awesome, cool fish.
Yeah.
41 bridge.
Oh, let's see. There's a lot of snook, and there's actually been some juvenile tarpon there the last two nights. And then during the daytime, there's been some Spanish mackerel coming through here and there, along with a couple of small sharks and some black drum. Other than that, it's kind of a little quieter on all the other fronts of fish. But hearing the snook and tarpon reports at night have been kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming off of this nice weird moon. Last night, the tide was actually kind of normal. Wasn't super high.
Yeah, my sidewalk has gone underwater two or three times in the last week or so. All of a sudden, the water just comes up and floods over the sea walls. And
yep.
Lashley Pier,
I've got nothing there, to be honest. No report. And they're one of the few ones that are still open. At least that's what I've been hearing from a couple people.
All right, Bayshore Pier.
Nothing. That's closed.
Yeah, but there's some snook if you fish under the pier. I can't say dock. You don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah, the pier is closed, but you can fish next to it. Okay, got that down. Yeah, that's all the faster I type, boys and girls. All right. The canals in Port Charlotte.
A lot of snook, mostly small guys. There's been quite a few jacks coming through, especially over in the Pelham Waterway and the Ackerman Manchester area. The Snapper started to pick up just a little tiny bit for a few people. And then there's been quite a few juvenile tarpon over there in Spring Lake, and even the Edgewater Lake is starting to see a few more small tarpon in it. And had a guy catch a cobia there in the basin, kind of out in front of the beach complex around all those channel markers coming in and out. He was super excited about that. That's the other thing that's been nice about getting off early, sitting out back, just kind of hanging out, catching up with the girlfriend and BSing. Get to see quite a few customers coming through that are kind of yakking at me because I haven't had a ton of them coming in giving us reports because I'm not, you know, our hours are different and stuff, but being able to chat with them as they're coming through, I've been getting some different feedback on what they caught as they're going by. It's brief, but at least it's some feedback.
Yeah, I'll have to get you a little marine band radio. I don't know if anybody's got those anymore, though.
I hardly ever see them anymore on anybody's boats.
Yeah. The problem is cell phones are so efficient.
Yeah.
That the marine band radio, and you remember a number of years with the whole tarpon thing? All those guys started talking on the marine band radio back and forth to each other, and we had people show up from everywhere.
Yeah.
It was amazing because the marine band radio, depending upon where you are, how high your antenna is, that they were hearing them miles away.
Yeah.
And even as far as Tampa and Sarasota and down in Fort Myers, well, we had never had people up fishing some of these areas in the harbor for tarpon and this and that and the next thing. And that one season they used the marine band radio changed tarpon fishing for years. It's finally slowing down now, but for years it was crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Now they do cell phone private to private, you know.
Now just 10 of their friends show up and mess them all up instead of 50. Oh, well, I only told one other guy. Thanks.
So, yeah, we were... All right, Elder Bean Pier, which is closed. I don't really going to expand on that because the pier is closed. So.
Yeah.
It's funny, I see a lot of people on different piers and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you see a cop come up. Everybody off.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Yep.
The nice thing is we haven't seen a lot of tickets yet. We've only heard of a couple of people getting tickets. And I know one guy who got a ticket because he started talking about his rights and this and that and the next thing and getting real mouthy. And the cop went, "You're right. You have the right to follow the law. Here you go." And then... And it's a misdemeanor ticket where you got to go to court and a whole bit and fines and court costs. It's not a little thing.
No.
Because he couldn't shut up and say, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't realize," you know, and just walk away and go somewhere else politely. Had to give the cop a hard time. And I know the cop, he's a nice guy.
And people don't seem to understand the difference between a right and a privilege. It's like, okay.
Don't even get me started on that one, because
right.
I can name you 100,000 things that people think are human rights, and it's absolutely BS.
Yep.
And especially these people in the cities. I was listening to people in the city say they would rather see people die than have Donald Trump for a president for 4 more years.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, this is not endorsement or unendorsement for Donald Trump. I am a big supporter. But whether you are or not, we've got a lot of people in here that don't support him. We got people working here who actually can't stand him. That's fine. Everybody should have their own opinion. But to literally say you want people to die rather than seeing him become president, there's a defect in this country. Serious defects. I mean, not liking somebody's policies or one thing or another, but if you just don't like the person, but you would rather see people die?
Right.
There's something wrong with that person. And I got, oh gosh, it's scary out
kinda
there.
Kind of gives me goosebumps in a bad way.
I am so glad we're locked up in our little bait shop and we don't deal with these people.
I like this bubble most of the time.
Yeah, this is so much better. Because, I mean, everybody is more than a right to their opinion about how a fish tastes, how you're going to go fishing, whether you like this, whether you like that, whether you like this political candidate or that one. Everybody has a right about it. But never to the point where you think someone should die rather than have somebody in office. That's a sick, horrible individual.
Yeah.
I mean, ooh. So anyway, yeah. Back into the fishing. We got Myakka River area. I'm not really sure what's going on over there. I've heard vague stories of Tippecanoe, and I don't think people want to talk about it because they like being isolated.
Right. Well, it's a little bit of a confined area at times. You know, I've heard of a couple of snook over in there and a couple of redfish. Quite a few people have been kayaking all through that whole area. And, you know, so it's, I think they're being a little bit more quiet about it so they don't get bothered or run over.
Yeah, I think the fishing over there has been pretty good. Through the Myakka Cutoff and over in Tippecanoe Bay and that whole area around the mouth of the Myakka River. Going up, have we heard anything up by Northport on the Myakka?
No, it's gotten real quiet up there. The last report was that guy a couple weeks ago with the juvenile tarpon, but he was in here the other day and said he hasn't seen him the last trip out.
Okay. South Gulf Cove canals?
Tilapia and Mayan cichlids. Quite a few guys been in here buying worms this last week, fishing off their docks and off of some of the empty lots in there. There's the one boat ramp, I guess. They've been fishing around that a little bit over there.
Yeah, we bought a new worm because of how much the tilapia and the Mayans are hitting and how tasty they are. So what we did was we bought a worm. It's called a big red. Now, we've always carried the wigglers and the night crawlers, and the wigglers are very good bait, but you really have to use a very, very thin hook. If you have any kind of normal hook, it just breaks them in half, or pieces, however you want to call it.
All right.
But if you're looking for these fish and you want something different, we got wigglers, big red, and night crawlers. And the big reds are going to really starting to catch on because you can use a bigger hook, and it's still a small enough worm, not like a night crawler where, you know, you got to tear them all up into pieces. But now they stay on the hook, and you don't have to worry about breaking them apart and doing all this. So it's getting to be a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Responding to... And the reason we ended up buying them is because of the massive amounts of tilapia and Mayan cichlids. And people say, well, they're invasive species and it's not a good thing. But the Oscars saved the Everglades.
Absolutely.
There was nothing there. Now the bass are feeding on the Oscar fry and we're getting more bass. And it took a
healthier alligators.
Yeah. I mean, everything now has been feeding or working with the Oscars down there, and we're seeing some of that result with the Mayans and the tilapia here. Yes, they crowd some of the local species, but to be quite honest, they're actually enhancing some of the local species.
Absolutely.
We've seen bluegills hitting minnows far more than they ever have because I think there's so many clouds of bait fish in front of their face, they just open their mouth and they're going to get one.
Right. Absolutely.
I think they're learning new behavior.
Well, and then also people are actually discovering that they're actually a tasty fish, you know, because they've always looked at them as an invasive species where they didn't give it any second thought other than that it just didn't belong here. And it's like, you know, you should try it. It tastes a lot better and a whole lot different than the tilapia you get in the grocery store. And a cichlid, oh my gosh, you know, try those. They're pretty amazing themselves.
I think and people aren't going to like this when I say it, but it's kind of the truth, and that is that fish raised in ponds, farm-raised fish, think of how many fish are in that confined area with what the water's like. Now, it's not going to poison the water at all, but you are going to get some of that funk taste to it.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not talking about fish that are in exceptionally clean water.
No.
Because whatever fish eats goes in one end, comes out the other end.
Right.
And they're in ponds and tanks and stuff. And it's hard to clean, circulate, and filter that much water to keep the oxygen out. But we can tell you from just what we have to do to keep our bait here, how many times a day we have to clean the filters and how much we have to do to make sure all this works. You know.
Well, I think the biggest misconception with North Americans, you know, with farm-raised fish of what they know of is they think about all the trout hatcheries. And so they don't think about it in the aspect of enclosed, because most trout hatcheries are right on a river or a stream where they're bypassing some of that stream water into those ponds and tanks and then pumping it right back out into the river, versus something that's more basically enclosed where tilapia are pond raised, tank raised, catfish pond raised, tank raised. Those are a whole different scenario.
It doesn't seem to bother the catfish. But even the wild caught ones do taste better. But the catfish, I've had farm raised catfish and I've had wild catfish, and I don't notice a big difference, but I do notice it with the tilapia. For some reason, the tilapia that are wild caught have a much milder flavor. They're much tastier. You don't have that overall fishy taste to it as much. But the farm raised ones, they're pretty strong. They got a lot of fishy taste to them and stuff like that. And I can understand why people don't like it. They cover it up with sauces and blacken it because it's just not a tasty fish. But when you catch it in the wild, it actually really is.
And, definitely.
Okay, West Wall.
West Wall's got a lot of snook on it and quite a few redfish. Been a lot of pressure on those fish just because everybody's out of work, basically. But if you stay a little further back and practice a little bit longer cast, you'd be really surprised. But they're catching them on shrimp. A few guys are catching some pinfish out there. They're even finding a little bit of white bait. Fish in the bushes and the shoreline isn't your bag. The Spanish mackerel have been just on the outside of the bar throughout that area. Not great numbers, but enough if you're trolling along and you hit one, turn around and come back and start casting a little bit. You might be surprised with what you'll pick up. And then I've had a couple reports of guys seeing cobia also cruising on top of the bar over there. The water's been really, really clear. So you got really good visibility out there. You know, it's definitely worth at least watching and observing a whole lot of stuff while you're going along, because it's beautiful out there. I mean, it's really, really gorgeous.
Yeah, and
this is the time of year where it's like, you know, there's certain days where I just actually would like to just go out there and just idle around and just look, you know, just because it's so beautiful. It's like fishing. Yes, I would like to be fishing, but at the same time, I'm just having so much fun looking at all the stuff and being able to see into the water.
Those are the days I try not to take bait. I want to take artificials of some kind. Because I can cast and reel in and look at the water. It's kind of mindless, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've got like a DOA cow shad or the Bass Assassin shad or the Storm Twitch stick, something you can just throw out and just slowly reel in across the flats, and you don't have to think about it much.
Right.
Or even a topwater or something like that. Because what's nice about that is you get to look at everything. You can kind of blank out from the world, and that's really important right now.
Yeah.
And if you can get a drift going across down a bar, that's just amazing to be able to sit there and cast and watch in the water and, you know, just kind of go away in your mind for
a while. Absolutely.
So it's really cool to be able to do that. Yeah, Cape Hayes.
Now you're getting into some more Spanish mackerel. There's been quite a few Spanish on it, a few ladyfish. Assortment of different sharks, from black tips to black nose, a couple bull sharks. There's been a handful of trout there, just not a lot. And then the snook and redfish have been up along the shoreline there, kind of between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay, with a few more of them up inside Muddy Bay itself. You know, and Carl saw about a 12-foot sawfish the other day that he got to take a picture of in about 4 feet of water that he saw crossing. He thought it was a lemon shark at first, and then swung back around and actually saw that it was a big sawfish. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you get to see a dinosaur.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Amazing amount of redfish and snook. And there again, it's getting a lot of pressure. So stay back a little bit further. Try to practice on your little bit longer cast. There has been also some juvenile tarpon in the back there, kind of, what do you call that, by the eagles nest or eagle's cut or whatever, that deeper trough. And then they have been getting a few mangrove snapper and still a few scattered sheep's head underneath some of those shacks in there.
All right. I'm trying to write out a little better report for it.
Right. It's been really nice in there. Just a lot of people fishing, so it's been the pressure. People are seeing a lot of fish, just having a hard time catching any.
Well, the neat part about it is...
Can we hit pause for a minute?
Sure. What's up?
Carl's called.
Okay. We have a... One of our guys is out on the water, and he called twice in a couple of minutes, and, you know, somebody calls a couple of times, you got to stop and find out what the heck's going on in case somebody's in trouble. They could be... You know, there could be something dire going on.
Right.
So, all right. Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel are all around it with a handful of sharks from 5-foot hammerheads to 3-foot black tips. I haven't heard of any bottom fish there at all. I mean, no spanish or no snapper, no pompano, no nothing else. But definitely a lot of Spanish.
Yeah, it's funny. I always got to tell people when they're reading the fishing report, HTE is not a code. It's just I have a hard time doing THE. It's the.
You ought to put that as a disclaimer right at the top of the fishing report in like big bold letters.
I got enough disclaimers with all this COVID-19 and all this other kind of crap on here. Oh, God, I'm getting a headache. I started breaking out. My nerves get so bad.
Yeah. I had that last night.
Yeah, I thought I was getting bug bit, and then I realized, no, it's just nerves.
Yeah.
Because it happened before when we've had other episodes like this where, as a leader, you've got to try and stay calm, and you've got to internalize a lot of the stuff, and you got to be strong, and you got to be calm. But it doesn't mean inside you're not, you know, it's kind of like a duck on a pond. Mm-hmm. You see him drifting along, but underneath those little feet are just going a million miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And... when you're
and every now and then your body's got to release it.
Yep. And so, yeah, that's just the way it goes. But that's, if you're going to be the person there, you've got to do these things. You can't show weakness. And that's just the way it is. And I don't like being weak. So Gasparilla Sound tailing
square
flies.
Fruit.
Hey,
It's admirable in a whole lot of ways.
If they had ever met my dad, they would understand that I'm actually a really good person, considering what I started with. You know, anyway, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats.
That's got a lot of fish all through there. There's Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and an assortment of different sized tarpon moving through that whole area in 4 to 10 feet of water. As you work your way closer to the bushes, the snook, redfish, been some pompano scattered through there pretty good. Even a couple of permit mixed in with them about the same size, you know, 20, 24 inches. And what else? The small sharks. There's been a couple of black tips in there and a couple small bulls.
When did the permit show up back on the flats?
My nephew sent me some pictures from Tuesday or Wednesday. He was back in there with his Ginu, and they actually caught one back inside Catfish Creek, but then they went out front and started fishing for snook and redfish and caught two more, along with a couple of pompano. He was super excited because as much fishing as he does, he's never caught a permit before. He's caught plenty of pompano. He was pretty excited. But it's been weird getting some mixed reports with the permit lately.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, but it's not rare, but it's not common.
Right.
And every few years, we get a bunch of permit back on the flats. And this appears to be the year. So if you've ever wanted to experience what they do in the Keys, fishing permit on the flats and shallow water, casting at them, doing all that kind of stuff, you don't have to go there. This year, you can literally do this in Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound, these places like that.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep your eyes open. And it goes back to what I say all the time. don't get so involved in where you're going that you forget where you are. You've got to be there looking for these fish and going, oh my God, look at that, and start making your cast. And you can have a great time, and there's a lot of different species to be caught. And I think sometimes people just don't notice them because they're so busy worrying about they're going to this spot to catch snook and redfish, they don't see the school of permit in front of them.
Right.
And literally, it's that simple some of the time. But Little Gasparilla Pass, the area around the Placida Pier, which is closed.
Let's see, lots of Spanish mackerel still. The few sharks. Been quite a few tarpon moving in and out throughout that whole area there. And good size fish, anywhere from 80 to 150 pounds. Along with a few sharks. Most of the sharks are smaller. One guy did see a bull shark cross the bar there by Gasparilla Pass that he said looked pretty peppy. He couldn't tell exactly how big it was, but he said it was pretty cool to watch it swim through 4 feet of water.
Okay. And we've got Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, I got actually two reports finally. Been some Spanish mackerel closer to Stump Pass. They're catching a few redfish and some snook all around that whole area behind Ski Alley and underneath some of the docks as you're working your way up towards the... Where'd he put in at? What's that? I always forget the name of that park. The boat ramp. Indian Mounds.
Okay.
He set up around Indian Mounds. He caught a few snook and a couple small redfish.
Okay.
So that's finally a nice report for once in quite a while.
Yeah, and you can actually fish right there from land at Indian Mounds.
Yeah. Yeah, there's enough spots to walk around.
Yeah. And remember, if you put your rod to the right or to the left, you should not be able to touch a person with the tip of your rod. That's
right.
How we social distance when we're fishing. Rod lengths apart. All right. Otherwise, they will close down a lot more stuff.
Oh, they'll get a lot more enforcing on it.
It's a very simple thing. You're a fisherman. You have a social distance spacer in your hand. Move to the right, move to the left. You're okay. Nobody's going to argue with that. But if, you know, you got two friends who are standing next to each other fishing, but then the one has the right and one has the left, you know, you don't have to, if there's two of you fishing together, you don't have to be that far apart.
Right.
But if there's, you know, you can't have 10, 20 people all standing together fishing. They're going to come break you up.
It's not opening day of salmon season on a river.
No. So, all right. The Anger Pier is closed. I'm just going to do that. Closed. And move on down to... Are the jetties open for fishing?
No. No, customer actually told me that the other day, that he actually drove up there to check it out. He lives up in Northport. He had to take a ride and check it out.
All right. Gulf of Mexico.
It's been windy the last couple of days, but there have been some pretty incredible reports. all the nearshore reefs from 3 to 12 miles out have got a lot of barracuda on them. A handful of cobia. Been some king mackerel around them. Had a couple scattered reports of permit. And then Spanish mackerel are hopscotched everywhere out there. From within casting distance of the beach to 15 miles out. Been a couple of blackfin tuna caught again out there a little further. Guy was fishing some hard bottom over by the Mohawk, he said, and got one blackfin tuna, and his buddy was out the day before and got a blackfin tuna off the same spot while freelining while they were fishing for the grouper and snapper. A couple guys went out on the full moon. They got some big mangrove snapper at 25 miles out.
Okay.
It's going to be off and on breezy, so I don't know how the next couple days of reports are going to be, but been pretty good fishing out there. And the tarpon are starting to cruise along the beaches, especially south of us from Boca Grande down through Sanibel. And that's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if that really lit up here in the next couple days. I'm still waiting to hear from Rick. He went out night before last for tarpon out by the pass, and he said a lot of fish had dumped in there.
All right. What about Matt Lachey?
We got nothing down there. We haven't gotten a report from them.
Okay. Pine Island Sound.
Everything, some permit in Pompano, like you were just talking about. Lots and lots of little sharks to even some bigger sharks up to 6 feet. A couple 6 foot hammerheads were seen down there and caught down there. The Spanish mackerel are also scattered throughout that whole area, especially out in the little deeper water.
And what was that?
Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
And then the snook and redfish are just peppered. Any one of the mangrove shorelines seems to have a few snook and redfish on them. One guy said he saw a school about 20 snook cruising down by Redfish Pass. He went down there looking for tarpon and saw a big knot of them kind of just inside heading that direction, which is kind of cool. You know, a lot of fish moving around right now. He said the bait fish down there disappeared. He said there's hardly any white bait down there, but he did find some schools of threadies just on the outside on the beach down there. But he said most of the bait he's seen is little tiny fry, like glass minnow-ish.
We got to call the Boquilla Pier and find out if they're open.
Somebody was saying something about it yesterday, that they're still open, but they're only letting out like 10 people total on it.
Okay. So what's going on around there?
Been some Spanish mackerel down that area, a couple small sharks, and then a few snook and redfish along the shoreline. But I should give them a call and see how they're doing fishing wise.
Yeah, we need to stay better in contact with them.
Yeah.
You know. Alright, Burnt Store Two Pines.
A lot of snook and redfish along that whole shoreline. There has been some tarpon and a few sharks on the outside of the bar. And then one guy did say he skipped a couple pompano down there but couldn't catch anything. And then a few ladyfish. Nothing really gangbuster of reports for that area.
Okay. Alright. I'm working on getting this cleaned up. I got some of them where I'm down to this month only, and some of them still have 3 or 4 months on them.
Gotcha.
East side of the harbor.
It's been quiet over there. I'm getting some snook and redfish reports, but very scattered. Mostly what I'm hearing about is the guys trying to look for some of the tarpon and cobia that are cruising on the outside of the bar over there. You know, it's been some weird reports over there this whole winter and spring. I mean, east side used to be the killer spot for years, and now it's kind of gone a little quiet.
I've had a couple guys doing the cobia hunt over there and seen a few cobia. A couple have been caught, but, you know, it's kind of like, I think they're looking for the tarpon and then just taking advantage of the cobia if they find it.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of been about the extent of it. Alligator Creek.
The fun bycatch.
Yeah.
The Alligator Creek's got still some nice jacks in it. A few snook. The mangrove snapper and juvenile tarpon have picked up a little bit better up inside the Burnt Store Isles canals. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. I wonder if they're still working on that canal thing that they're dredging out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that. It's going to do nothing but help the fishing back there. It's going to allow more water flow, cleaner water. I don't see a downside to it. You know, it's going to allow more water to get in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time it's going to be a little different is when we have these big hill tides, that water dumping out of all those canals there. You know how Ponce is so strong.
Right.
This has the potential of being as strong or even stronger, but the big effect is going to be on Poacher's Cut, where if that water is not flowing through Poacher's Cut, if it diminishes the amount of water going through there, that could actually make that a lot shallower.
Yeah, that's true.
It could allow poacher's cut to actually fill in. And, you know, it's just kind of weird, but they should dredge that through there. That would be the prudent thing to do. But you have these econuts that don't understand the value of water movement, flow through different multiple areas. They all say, well, this is this and this. They're idiots. These people have no sense of reality. They have what they learned in school. And what I'm more and more figuring out is the longer somebody was in school, the more indoctrinated they are to whatever ideas they're presented to.
Right.
And people always wonder about why people who finished high school and went out and worked on their own and have their own jobs or started their own businesses, and they think differently than the people who went to extended school stuff, is because the more schooling you get, the more indoctrinated you are to this is what you should think, and this is the way you should think, and this is how you should think. And people who go through school, through college, extended college, and then go to a city and work in that one place, and they don't move around much, they're never exposed to new ideas, so their indoctrination becomes more complete. And this is whether it's environmental or any other aspect of it. And people who move around more and they go from one city or to a different job, you know, or a different state, and they work there even when they go back, they're exposed to more ideas. They think on a broader basis because there's been nobody to tell them, this is how you think, this is what you do, this is what you are. So they develop their own ideas. And their own, the more ideas they're exposed to, the broader they think. And that's been the biggest difference, you know, when you see, you know, a lot of environmental scientists, a lot of them are reliant on government grants for money. So they're going to say anything that they need to say to keep that money coming in. But B, they're not exposed to a lot of ideas. They're only exposed to a certain way or level of thinking.
Well, and some of them, in some instances, are only exposed to other people's scientific papers. Some of them haven't even had a real first-hand account of it, you know?
Yeah, they're not out there catching fish and being on the water and living with this stuff and seeing what happens. Like, you or I are exposed to pretty much the broadest spectrum of people you can imagine when it comes to environmental stuff. And we're also exposed to farmers. And so when I go to the Everglades and I see all this amazing wildlife right around where people are, where they're maintaining the area, keeping it dredged deeper, keeping, you know, picking up stuff and all that, then you get out into the wild where nature is supposed to take care of itself.
Yeah.
And you begin to wonder, why do we have an overabundance of corn and wheat and all this kind of stuff? Because somebody's taking care of it. And then you get out in the middle of the woods or out in the middle of the glades, and there's literally no life there.
Yeah.
But yet I can go out from my driveway to the end of my street. I routinely see ibis, ospreys. I mean, you pick a bird, you can probably see it from my house.
Right.
And all of this stuff, because we maintain it, we work with it, it's good. Whereas out in the wild, it gets worse and worse and worse because there is nobody there to take care of it, and there is nobody there, you know. If people are going to make sure wildlife exists, we need to take care of it the same way we would a farm. And that's how you get everything to work. By having somebody literally going, okay, well, we had a big flood, this filled in. Yes, nature did that, but it's not good because now there's no other place for them to go where it had that habitat.
Right. We had that option because this filled in, but this opened up. Well, that opened, that's no longer there, so that can't open up ever again because now it's got a mall on it.
And yeah, and all of the little creeks on both sides of the harbor and all around this area, most of those were started by artesian wells. where the water would just bubble up from the ground because we had all this excess water flowing all the way down the state through limestone caves and whatever have you. And it would just get to a point it had nowhere to go, so it would bubble up and it formed a creek. Well, those artesian springs are gone because I live here, you live here, everybody else, and we make coffee, we use the shower, we go to the bathroom, we do all this stuff that uses water. So there are no more artesian springs. We need to keep those open, keep the deep water, shallow water spots. And I've seen, like, the Lemon Bay Conservancy went to do that for tarpon in a lot of the creeks, so they would survive better. We need to do that in all of the creeks. We need to be able to allow, get permits to dredge it in its specific areas and how it's maintained. Not just blanket dig them deep. That doesn't work. You got to have shallow spots, deep spots. And because you and I are exposed to so many types of people, that's why we have these opinions. We didn't get, you know, and I've been involved in the environmental stuff and sciences since the 1980s.
Right.
So most of the environmental people I talk to literally have not evolved their opinion since the 80s or 90s. Literally, they're the same. I heard the same stuff in, you know, in a, I forget what it's called, Eco 88 or something like that. And they're still spouting the same stuff. Really?
Yeah.
You know, we have things like, you don't have to dial the rotary phone anymore. You can actually, you know, go in your pocket and you can have somebody on speed dial. Tell who you're talking to. You can even talk face to face if you want. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Changes. Ponce de Leon Park.
I got nothing there at all.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's open or closed. Yeah. This is one of those days where I just feel like rambling.
It's all good.
I don't know why. Anyway, Punta Gorda House Canals.
These are fun conversations, though. I actually enjoy some of these.
Well, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, some people like it. Some people go, ugh, these guys pause. Need to shut up. And, you know.
And fast forward.
I'm going through, and I'm going to have these shows downloadable very soon. So if you're going out in an oil rig, we've had people that say, well, I said, well, you can just put them on your phone. Well, they don't get phone reception or internet reception, so they want to be able to download them and take them with them. So I am working on that. I don't know how right now, but I've met somebody who is going to help me put these up as files so that they can be downloaded.
Oh, that's cool.
And people can take them with them. And if they're in areas with limited reception, they can download a few and then take them out on the boat with them or have families. You know, I don't really understand it all, but
nah.
I'm working on it. If you're a radio station or, you know, of somewhere and you like some of the programming you hear on here, you can go to contact me, send me an email, and we will tell you where you can go to get shows. And we have a lot of shows with another company that I own is all about syndicating radio shows. And during this whole COVID-19, we're giving the shows away to free to any of the smaller stations that would like to broadcast them. And there's no charge. And it's just because everybody's looking for something a little different. Not everybody knows about what we do here. But we also do other broadcasts and other shows. And we have a big menu of stuff. And they'll all be available for free. If you contact me, I'll tell you where to go. We'll get you the username and password. And as long as this stuff is going on, we're not charging anything for the shows that we're producing. The host, everybody else has decided to donate this. So, you know, because let's face it, not everybody. I think there's 60,000 people a month that listen to shows on fishandfranks.com and other things that we do. But that leaves a big part of America that don't know we're here.
Right.
So we'll help with that. And it's not about getting business here, guys. We're fine. This is just about getting entertainment out so people can have a moment to get away from stuff.
Well, so it's not even just entertainment because, I mean, this is kind of our passion. We love to do it. We enjoy helping people and make their lives better and hopefully fulfilling different dreams and goals. So this is fun for us.
Well, it was back in 2010 when I got sick, hurt pretty bad. And for a couple years I was all messed up. But it ended any other jobs I had besides this one. All the other companies I was doing, whatever else I was doing, working in Europe, working for the feds, working for states and universities, all these projects that I was doing all came to an end. And when Robert and I got back, got in here, and we decided we were getting out of the business of selling tackle, it was a different, what we decided to do was go on a different path. And we're going to help people catch fish, help them have fun, and let the rest of it fall where they may. You know, right. If we don't ask people to buy stuff. If you want to come in, and we'll teach you how to tie a knot. And there's no fee, and you don't want to be in a classroom for that kind of stuff. You want something one-on-one where somebody can literally work with you. And we have a table for that. And you can just come on in. There's no charge. We will sit there and show you how to tie a knot. If you want to build a certain rig, we'll show you how to do that. If you want to learn to troll for this or troll for that. Next year, we're going to have classes. But believe it or not, the classes are not as good. They're fun because, you know, you can talk to different people and stuff like that. But classes are good for ideas, but not for specific learning.
Right.
And we do specific learning teaching every single day. And that's, I think, been the biggest difference in what we've done over the last 30-some years, is forget about selling anything and just have fun, talk to people, teach each other. They teach us, we teach them, and we have customers teaching other customers. It's been very infectious. And it's made this just so amazing to be a part of and have fun with.
It really is. It's cool when another customer comes in, and some of them are better at it than we are in some aspects. I mean, we got no problems passing over the torch to somebody. You know, if I don't know it well enough, I go find you, or I go find someone else who's good at it. And there's been a couple different times where there's been a customer that, like, knows that exact niche that person was asking, and it's like, I'll just step back, and
all of a sudden they're going at it. They're just having a good time.
I'll try to learn myself so I can better at it, so the next person walks in, when that person's not here, I can hopefully answer the question better.
And people wonder, why are we so successful? Why do we have so many customers, and why do we have so much business? And it's true. We do anywhere from twice to 10 times what a normal bait shop would do. It's because we don't sell tackle.
Nope.
And that's, nobody gets the concept. We literally talk to our customers, ask them what they're doing, how they're doing it, advise them on ways they can catch fish, and let them decide if they want to buy something or not. You know? Now, I will say, I do have an attitude about people who come in with stuff they bought on the internet. Don't do that with me. I've warned you ahead of time. You know, if you bought it on the internet, or you did this or you did that, that's fine. But when you say, well, I got this on the internet, can you tell me how to use it? Hell no. Right. I'm not your damn daddy. But if you just want general information, because to me that's an insult.
Right.
It's a personal insult. It has nothing to do with business. That's personal. You decided I wasn't good enough for you to spend your money here. You just want to take advantage of my good nature.
Right.
So, to me, I get insulted with that. It's a personal insult. And, you know, because we do Amazon price match and a lot of our reels and stuff like that. And we try, and not only that, but you get the Amazon price match plus the in-store warranties and stuff. But if people come in and go, I got this, and, you know, what do I do with it? I'm sorry, ask the guy you bought it from. If you're just well-mannered enough not to bring that up, we will still answer all the questions. I don't care where you bought it from, but if you're going to stick it in my face, probably going to stick it back. Just want that right up front, folks. I'm not this great altruistic guy. People slap me with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you just ask the questions, we'll answer anything. We'll spend hours with you. But don't tell me all about what you bought somewhere else.
Yeah. Start making statements instead of questions. There's probably going to be an issue.
Yeah. So just letting you know, I mean, I don't want you to think I'm this great guy. We are in business and we do have to make money. I got payroll and thousands of dollars a week in expenses. But as long as you're polite, I'll be polite. And by polite, I mean, don't say, well, I bought all this stuff here. Now what do I do with it? Now, the exception to that is if somebody sent it to you for your birthday from up north or something, because they don't have Fish and Franks there. Now, you can go on the website and buy gift certificates and send it to them. But if you got something as a birthday present from your family or relatives, tell me that up front.
Yeah.
And I'll be more than happy. I have actually warranted a lot of products that people have sent to other people, you know, as gifts, because it's the right thing to do. And if you're from a town up north and you bought something at a local store up there and you have moved here, tell me that. And I will do everything I can to warranty it, to help you with it, to show you everything else. But if you live here and you're buying stuff somewhere else, that's probably not the best thing to tell me. Because then I get insulted.
Right.
So, anyway, moving on. Let's see. PGI Canals.
Let's see. It's been a little quieter up in there, but there have been some juvenile tarpon, a whole lot of snook. And then the big jacks are still coming through in pretty good numbers. Quite a few customers coming in buying the twitch stick and even a couple of topwater lures fishing off their docks back there and having pretty good success.
You know, one you can sell for topwater trolling is the Berkeley prop.
Oh, yeah.
You can actually sell a topwater to go trolling with if you simply give that Berkeley prop to them. Now, I'm going to want to put an AFW ball bearing swivel in front of it,
because
it is going to get some rotation, but it's got that big prop on the back of it, and if you want to put something out, put the Storm twitch stick, and you know, if you're going along, usually you're going to be on the right side of a canal. So what I would do is put a Storm twitch stick on the starboard side closest to shore and a little shorter back, and then have the Berkeley prop bait more towards the middle of the canal away from the docks, you know, so it's out towards the middle, and I would have that probably 15 feet behind where the Storm twitch stick would be, and that's going to be a dynamic, you know, 10 to 15 feet back. I kind of want it to be able to get attention, but it needs to be back a little bit from the bubble trail and all that, kind of doing its own thing out there. But now you got your subsurface and your topwater going while you're trolling. And I'm going to take that out as soon as I can in the Gulf, because I believe I'm going to get a lot of blow-ups on that in the Gulf of Mexico as a topwater.
Yeah, I'd be curious with that one. That'd be kind of neat.
And if I use the smaller to mid-size, I think I'll be able to get tuna to come up and blow on that thing. I know the mackerel are going to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a given. But the tuna would be super cool.
But it would be just fun to be able to do a little bit of more actual topwater visual seeing the stuff. And it's very hard to find a topwater you control.
Yeah.
It really is. Because most of them you got to work. Okay. Gilcrest Pier, I think it's open. I had a bit of whiting reports there. And I don't know if they're fishing from the pier or from the seawall around it.
Yeah, I've gotten nothing off of there.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef.
Spanish mackerel. Been a few cobia being caught there, but most of the ones I've heard of have been small. And then there has been some tarpon there off and on in the mornings. Been quite a few decent-sized thread fins on the southern end of it between the reef and the shoreline. So if they're out there looking for either bait for tarpon or just maybe looking for the possible other predator that would be around them, it'd be good to look for them down there.
And what about the deep holes?
Tarpon. Been tarpon scattered in every one of them, along with some Spanish mackerel and a few incidental sharks. Seems like the sharks are a little bit better more towards the Pirate Harbor hole, but there's sharks in all of them.
Okay.
And then the Spanish, you just go out there and you'll see them kind of free jumping here and there and here and there. They're moving around quite a bit. And there are schools of the cow nose rays out there, so some people are getting confused thinking that they're seeing shark fins and other things, and then, hey, here comes a school of 30 to 150 cow nose rays swimming by the boat, which is just a spectacular sight. That's one of the more cooler things to see out there. still the spotted eagle ray wins it all for me with watching them swim through the water. But seeing those schools of conos raise, it's a pretty impressive sight. Ever since you showed me that spotted eagle ray, that's all I like seeing now. I had Dwayne drive me in circles out there outside of Gasparilla Pass one day because he pointed one out. Can I check it out? He's like, okay. He idles over to it and he goes, oh, there's another one. And he idles over there. I think he kept me on that bar for like a half hour chasing around about four or five of them just looking at them. It was just, I mean, ever since you showed me that first big one, it's like those just tickle me.
It's kind of funny because I know I'm supposed to be the hardcore fisherman, and at one point or certain points in my life, I pretty much was, but to me, I kind of like the experience of it all, mm-hmm. and I've had amazing days, and it falls back to one charter I talk about quite a bit, more than I should, I guess, where I had a guy out fishing, and we never caught a fish. He gave me several hundred dollars in tips because he had never seen what I showed him that day. And it was about all these big snook and how they were there. They weren't eating, but I showed him how to see them and what to do with them. And he just freaked out. He had never experienced anything like this. And it was purely visual, just watching and seeing what was going on. And it kind of confirmed what I've always felt, is if the more of an experience people have with it overall, the more they enjoy the fishing thing, because it's not all about catching the fish. There's so many things to see and do, and what you, and I can't tell you how many times I've been on the water and stopped and swung back around so people could see a potted dolphin or baby dolphins, and you name it, from the horseshoe crabs on out.
Right.
People get so excited about it, but we tend to forget, because a lot of people are so involved in the fishing, they lose a bit of the rest of the experience. And I've been pretty lucky to be able to, you know, like with you and other people, be able to share the experiences.
Yeah, so, it's pretty awesome.
Freshwater ponds, canals, creeks, whatever.
Lots of bass fishing going on. You know, guys are buying a ton of shiners. I mean, they're all over the map with lures. I mean, they're buying a frog to a worm to whatever, but the shiners are definitely the most consistent thing.
I called Bass Assassin last week, because one of the basics of bass fishing is a ribbon tail worm, Texas rigged or Florida rigged or whatever you're going to do it, but a ribbon tail worm. And it's been so hard to find the colors. Mm-hmm. So Bass Assassin, boys and girls, if you haven't met the people who run that, are such nice people. They got great packaging, decent pricing, and a nice selection. I bought every ribbon tail worm they have, and we're just getting it up on the walls now. So we've got a brand new section of just an amazing selection of ribbon tail worms I think you're going to really enjoy. And it goes back to the beginnings of bass fishing. Everybody's into the Senko, Dinger, you know, all these styles of worms.
Trendy stuff.
Which is good, and they catch a lot of fish.
Absolutely.
But the basic of bass fishing is a ribbon tail worm, rigged weedless with a bullet weight in front of it. The old Texas style.
Mm-hmm.
And you can swim it through the water slowly with that tail going behind it as a swim bait. You can bounce it on the bottom, the old Bill Dance 9-11, lift up and set down, lift up and set down. There's so many things you can do with an old-fashioned ribbon tail.
Yeah.
And I think what kind of struck me is how trendy I'd become with all this new thing here and this new thing and this creature bait and all this. And I forgot about the basics of it. I literally got away from what I know is what to do. So I Bass Assassin with the packaging. You can see it. It's nice. It's easy to see. The product's really good. And so we bought a lot of it. I'm going back to a lot of the basic stuff with that. And that's what that's about. So anyway, I guess tilapia mine cichlids?
Yeah, the tilapia mine
Spell
cichlids.
Spell tilapia.
T-I-L...
P-H-I-A?
No. T-I-L-A... Gosh.
Okay. I'm just going to put...
IPA, I think.
IPA. Okay. Yeah, now it gave me a red line, too. So, who knows? Might not.
P-I-A, I'm sorry. T-I-L-A-P-I-A. I think.
Actually, that's right. No red line. Okay. All right, I gotta write that at the top because I spell it in a thousand different ways.
Right.
I can't get any of that right. I just don't
need
remember.
Some little notes across here. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Tilapia. The. Yeah.
The tilapia. Spanish does not have the S after the H.
Right.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway, there's just really a lot of good areas right now from Northport, Port Charlotte. And if you're on the website, you know, if you go to the, I'll make sure that there's a whole section of it. And we're going to expand out with more of the freshwater areas over in DeSoto County and all that other kind of stuff. It's just every time I think things are going to slow down and I'm going to get time to go out and do stuff, something else happens. And now we're shortening our hours, bunching everybody up. I got all this stuff to figure out and to do. And I've got the other company going with the stuff that it's just been, goodness, busy, 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 which is great. Oh, and we did add questions to all this. So if you email me, I'm going to be using some of your questions on there so people can see what the answers are. And
that's cool. That's a pretty smart idea.
All right. Right now we're into the tarpon stuff here. And any red dots?
Boca Grande Pass, Captiva Pass, Sanibel Causeway, Knapp's Point, South Sanibel.
All right, what about the holes in the harbor?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's probably a red dot.
Okay, throughout. Any one of the three holes or all the three holes?
They seem to be concentrated more in the upper and the middle one. Pirate Harbor hole's been a little quiet. But that could change at any given moment.
All right. What about the Mac River area?
No. Those are going to be more of the
Cape
yellow
Hayes,
dots.
The hill.
Those are all going to be the white dots.
Okay, those are white dots. All right. Mm-hmm. So where are we talking white dots? Mac River?
Mac River. Cape Hayes out through the hill. And then all through Gasparilla, intercoastal all the way down through Sanibel.
No yellow dots through there?
Because it's what, red, white, then yellow?
Yeah, white is a chance, yellow's 50-50.
No, definitely the chance.
Okay. Any pink dots for night fishing?
The 41 Bridge and Sanibel.
I'm going to change that. Another color. Doesn't really show up well. Placida, Gasparilla Pass, pink dots, night fishing?
Nothing. I haven't heard much.
Okay. Alright. Let me get this saved. Get that put up. Four, 11, 20. God, it's still hard to write 20. You know, well, I spent 62 years, actually, doing 19.
Right.
And if you figure it out, it's probably 6 or 8, first time I ever, you write the date,
mm-hmm.
You know, kindergarten, first grade. So, yeah. You know, literally 50-some years of writing 19, now I got to put 20 on it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because, you know, I was lucky enough and adult enough to, I was actually playing in a club when the, you know, bicentennial hit, and you know, I was out doing the bicentennial, and then went from 1999 to 20 to 2000, and
you that know, was fun.
There's a, it's been a, you know, when I go, people are gonna go, oh, it's, and I'm gonna be like, yeah, I don't think so. What the heck am I looking for here? Oh, I know what I'm looking for, the tarpon stuff. I got talking, forgot what I was looking for. I'm trying to get the tarpon stuff loaded up. So what's your thoughts on anything?
Tarpon fishing is going to just keep getting better and better from this day forward, I believe. Just full moon kicked off a lot more fish out along the beaches and into the passes in the intercoastal. I think we're definitely seeing the true beginning of it, being you can go to a lot of different areas right now and target them. So it's definitely...
So you're thinking tarpon are here to stay for the summer?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's been... I mean, they've been here for, what, 6 weeks, but it's been good and scattered. So you get 4 days of really pretty good fishing and then 3 days of where they go. And then... But now it's been pretty steady the last 8-10 days now. And just hearing too many reports. I mean, the one customer of ours that lives down there in St. James City, he's been texting me every day. He's getting numbers that Carl's getting down there in St. James City, Sanibel.
Wow.
He went 8-for-14 with him and his two buddies the other day. And like 6-for-8 the day before, 3-for-5 the day before that. You know, I mean, and they're all big fish. And then he was breaking his buddy's chops. He's like, obviously I didn't take this picture, my buddy took this one. Can you tell? And it's just as blurry as all get go. But every one of these fish that he's sent me so far have been 150. He sent me one picture, it was a 200 pound plus fish. It was a pig. Its head from its eyeball to the bottom of its jaw, it looked like it was 14 inches easily.
Wow.
I mean, it was a giant, giant fish.
It's funny how people don't really understand that after all these years, you get a really good idea of how big a fish is from a picture once you've seen it so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, anyway, we are... anything else you want to talk about?
I just think everyone needs to just be safe and, like you said, social distance, try to stay in your home county.
Your hometown, your home county. This
is as safe as possible. Make it best for everybody all the way around. Don't screw up the fishing for what we do have by intruding into other people's space. You know, just main thing is just be safe and courteous. Don't be that 2% that screws it up for everybody else.
Yeah. And we'd love to see you when this is over.
Absolutely.
But...
definitely want to see you when this is over.
Unfortunately for right now, if you're around the area, this is not a time to travel. This is not a time to go back and forth, you know. So, a little bit more. We'll get through this. Everything will be wonderful.
Yes.
Let's see. I'll just do this one here. Nice and simple. It's already queued up. So, I guess we'll officially cut off with the music. Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me. And truly, we hope each and every person listening, good health. I hope you, it's tough, but we can do this. And look forward to seeing y'all one day. Hopefully it's soon. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Oh, yes, indeedy. You know, I think it's true, like Groucho Marx says. The reason I'm not involved in all these groups and clubs is, why would I want to join a club that would have me for a member? So, all right. You guys have fun. Stay safe. Stay healthy.